Well, if you are new with us, this is the final message in a series called A Spirituality of Imperfection. And the basic idea of the series is that human beings are imperfect. We strive for perfection, and when we do so, we create a lot of unnecessary anxiety, disappointment, and sadness in our lives. And that one of the first things that we can do in order to get closer to God is accept that we are human beings, and that as human beings, we are imperfect. And I thought, what better way to wrap up this series than to talk about how to prepare for an imperfect Christmas? And what I'd like to do is start with a series of Pinterest fails. So if you know what Pinterest is, shout amen. If you don't know what Pinterest is, you're about to find out. Because Pinterest is a place where you can post messages and pictures, and it's a place where you can go and find lots of different ideas. And so during the Christmas season, people will go and they'll look for ideas of things that they could cook. They look for special ways they can decorate their Christmas tree, or unique ways that they can take family pictures for Christmas cards. And I just want to share a few that didn't go quite so well this morning. So we'll start with the first one. This is what the cookies are supposed to look like. Nice, beautiful snowman. But this is how it turned out. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is how this delicious dessert was supposed to look. The next one. And that's how it turned out. Let's go to the next one. This is how the turkey is supposed to look. Now, don't change it yet, Jenny, because I want to say, I smoked my first turkey yesterday, and I was promised that if I had the right time and temperature, that it would come out looking like this. Now, the next picture is not my turkey, but it looked very similar. Go ahead, Jenny. That's what it turned out looking like. All right. We were able to salvage some of the dark meat closest to the bone, but the outside meat was just a tad bit dry. And then the next one, that's what this snowman is supposed to look like. It's a Christmas decoration, and this is what it actually turned out like. You could call that the Rastafarian snowman, maybe, here in Cocoa Beach. And then the final one, this is what it was supposed to look like. Now, how many of you like to get pictures of your family? Raise your hands. And if you have cute little babies you love, and so you want something unique, and this is what it was supposed to look like, but this is what it actually turned out like. So, if your family is anything like mine, you know what it's like to try to have the perfect Christmas, right? And there's a lot of stress involved in that. I mean, just think about buying gifts for people. We try to find the perfect gift because what we want to happen is when we give someone a gift and they open it up, they go, "Oh my gosh, you're amazing. What an awesome gift you've given to me." And we want to see joy on their faces. And you know, parents will drive long distances and meet other parents in dark alleys and pay twice as much as what the toy is worth to get the right toy for their kids. I know, because Emma just did this last week. Evie and Isaac want a toy that's no longer in the store, and so going on mom swap and saying, who has them? And of course, there's always the people who are a little brighter than us who buy all those toys up and then sell them for double the price. And we often stress over finding the perfect gift. And then we often stress out about how much money we've spent after buying what we believe are the perfect gifts. We often go looking for the perfect tree. We sell Christmas trees here. Matt's going to be getting those, I believe. I haven't received the last update, but they should be here pretty soon. There's Matt right there. He must have got a refill on his coffee. Hey, welcome back, Matt. So we look for the perfect tree, and this reminds me of one of my favorite Christmas movies, A Christmas Story. You know, with little Ralphie, you'll shoot your eye out, and they go to buy the Christmas tree, and the guy pulls out the tree, and he goes, "Now this here is a tree. Ain't no needles falling off of this tree." And he's banging it on the ground, and needles are falling everywhere. And it reminds me of Christmas Vacation, when they go in the beginning of the movie and they buy the tree out in the, or they don't buy the tree. They go and cut the tree down in the middle of the woods, and they don't realize how big it is until they get it home, and they open it up, and it shatters all the windows. You know, so families begin to debate, well, what kind of tree should we get? Right now, Em and I are having a conversation about whether we're going to have a real tree or a fake tree. And I was under the impression that we had reached an agreement last year that we were going to alternate a real tree with a fake tree. But Emma really likes real trees because of the way that they smell. And so I say, we'll get a candle that smells like evergreen. And it's a win-win, right? But we've got, these trees are expensive. They're like $100 or more. And you have them in your house for 3 weeks. And then all the needles fall off. And you have to vacuum all the time. And then your cat shatters the ornaments that your children made when they were in third grade. I mean, it's a real interesting thing, right? But we try to get the perfect tree. And then we want it to be decorated in the perfect way. And so if you're anything like me, we let the kids decorate the tree any way they want to. Then they go to bed, and I go back and rearrange them all so that they're perfectly symmetrical, right? And it's not just the tree. We want great decorations as well. And so people go and buy lights, put them all over their houses and their bushes, and they buy these giant inflatable Christmas things, scenery, Snoopy and Santa Claus and reindeer. Right. When I was in high school, we used to go and rearrange people's lawn ornaments in funny ways when they were sleeping, right? But we want to decorate our homes, and there are even some neighborhoods that have contests. That's what we need at Christmas time, right? In the hectic season, we need the pressure of winning the neighborhood house decorating contest, and some even have prizes where you don't have to pay the homeowner's fee that year if your house wins the biggest award, right? And this oftentimes causes arguments. I was overhearing, we were at my sister's house for Thanksgiving. And my sister has high expectations. She loves to decorate. And it's a lot of work putting lights up on the roof of a house. You have to have a ladder, and sometimes you fall, and staples, and all kinds of things. I don't know, because I've never done it, although Emma's trying to talk me into it this year as well. My brother-in-law says, I don't want to put the lights up. Let's just get the ones that sit on the ground and project LED. It'll look just as pretty. My sister says, no, you're putting those lights up. Right? It could turn into arguments. And of course, the mother of all Christmas preparations is the family photo. Oh my goodness. Especially if you have children. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Are there some parents out there that can shout amen? Or some grandparents that know what it's like to try to get the perfect family picture with kids? Especially if you're going to use that picture on Christmas cards that you're going to send out to everyone. And so we want the outfit to be perfect for ourselves and our children. We want to be sure that we're all in matching holiday colors and in the perfect pose and the perfect lighting for the perfect picture. And after all this effort, what ends up happening? I mean, think about your own experience. The gift for our kids that we risked our life for often gets thrown in a pile of other toys after a few weeks, even a few days. What we thought was the perfect gift sometimes earns the response, oh, thanks. Just what I always wanted. Instead of experiencing the true joy of giving and receiving a gift, it all just starts to feel like another meaningless transaction. You give me your list, and I'll give you my list, and then we'll go buy everything on the list, we'll wrap it up, and we'll open it, and we'll pretend like we're surprised. And then we get a tree we think is perfect, and we get it home, and we find a big, thin spot. We have to turn it to the back of the wall. As the whole family gets together to decorate the tree, and we're hoping it's going to be a picture-perfect scene, our kids start fighting, and ornaments get broken. The needles dry up and fall on the ground, creating chores for us. And if we have teenagers, sometimes their attitude shifts from joy to boredom or even bitterness and resentment of having to participate in another family activity. Couples argue over how much effort to put into decorating the house and the best way to do it. And we spend hours cleaning the house in preparation for guests to arrive. We want the house to smell good and look good so that people don't think that we're slobs. We select and iron the outfits for the picture. Everyone gets dressed and fixes their hair with a smile on their face. And if the kids make it to picture time without messing up their hair or wrinkling their outfit, then we say it's a Christmas miracle until someone gets grumpy and parents have to say, "Be happy and smile, right? It's Christmas time. We're going to be happy this year." Looking for that one great shot so that we can send out the card that makes our family look perfect. You've heard of Facebook called Fakebook. And we're showing our highlight reel. We try to make things perfect during Christmas, but year after year, we discover that it never is. And in our very efforts to make it perfect, we increase our stress and irritability, making it even less like the dream that we had in our heads. And as we get stuck in our head and try to force everything to turn out just as we want it to, we get farther and farther away from the true meaning of Christmas, which is quite simply self-sacrificial love. Have we forgotten that it's not about buying all the presents on the list and getting the perfect tree and the perfect lights and the perfect family photo? It's about God seeing our suffering, hearing our cries, having compassion upon us, and being willing to experience human existence in Jesus to save us. To save us from the brokenness and the violence and the hatred of this world, and to save us from ourselves with our own self-destructive impulses and addictions. But as we focus on making the stuff around us perfect, as we demand that other people and other things conform to our unrealistic expectations, we miss the reason for the season. And then another year passes, and we get this sad feeling inside that once again, we've missed it. We know in the deepest part of ourselves that Christmas is supposed to be a special, holy, blessed time. And we start out with good intentions, but then we get sucked into the craziness. We try to make things perfect. It pulls us farther and farther away from the meaning. And then when it's all said and done, and we're throwing the wrapping away and we're packing up the decorations, we just have this sneaky suspicion, once again, I missed it. And I wonder what it would be like this year if instead of trying to prepare for a perfect Christmas, we prepared for an imperfect Christmas. To start with the assumption that Christmas is all about relationships, and that relationships are messy and unpredictable. They cannot be micromanaged into perfection. And if you try, you will be resented by those that you're seeking to force into your expectations. What would it be like to focus on giving ourselves to other people as a gift and embracing all of the imperfections of the Christmas season that are inevitable anyways? Have you ever been able to make it perfect? What would it be like to purposefully choose a flawed tree. To let the kids decorate it however they want, and to joyfully accept it in its finished product. Would that set us free from something that's binding us? Would that pull down some barriers so that we could love each other better? Would it grow some virtues like patience and help us to focus on the right things? What would it be like to scale back our expectations in terms of the gifts that we give and the decorations that we put up? What would it look like to clean up the house a little bit before people come over, but communicating this is not a hotel, but a house that people live in? And that it's not about creating a cruise-like environment where I make towel origami and put it on your bed at night. This is a home. It's where people live, sleep, and eat. A place where people laugh and cry. A place where we celebrate and grieve. A sanctuary. A safe place in a dangerous world. That we can always return to and know that we're loved. What would it be like if we simplified our calendars and only attended a handful of Christmas gatherings instead of 100? And what if we did this not just to be cool or to rebel against the craziness that Christmas has become in our culture, but what if we did it with a purpose? What if we did it so that we could spend more quality time with our family? What if we did it so that we would have more time available to seek out people from whom we're estranged and bring about reconciliation? To have a little extra time to worship and to pray, to get in touch with our souls, and to hear a word from God that could heal us and change us and bless us during this holy season. What would it be like for us to stop seeking perfection so that we can see and embrace and experience Emmanuel, God with us? Now, I know that this is not an innovative, groundbreaking message that you're hearing for the first time. But you know, we need reminders, my friends. Sometimes pastors feel this incredible pressure, especially around the holidays, to come up with these brilliant sermons and to read the Bible and to see something that nobody else has seen and then to connect it with the most hilarious stories that also make you cry at the end. And there's all of these expectations that we face trying to give the perfect message and create the perfect worship services. But if I'm being really honest, what I would say is that my job is not really to tell you brand new things you've never heard before. My job every week is to remind you of things that you already know. Things that God has already revealed to you, but because we are broken, fallen human beings, we're so prone to forget. Our hearts, it says in the book of James, are tossed to and fro like the seas. And there's all these outside pressures, especially around Christmas time. One of the main outside pressures is commercialism. We're told that you have to buy and spend and camp out on Thanksgiving instead of eating with your family so that you can beat the person up next to you to get the TV at half price. Really? Is money worth that much to us? There's the outside pressure of commercialism, but then there's the inside pressure that draws us to seek perfection. And at the same time, makes us unpleasant to be around. pushes us away from our loved ones and pushes us away from God. But we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to be reminded once again of the true meaning of Christmas. We have an opportunity to slow down. And I know that you hear that every Christmas. Slow down. You know, scale back your appointments and spend time with your family. I know it's not new, but it's important. And if it weren't important, I wouldn't have to remind myself. God wouldn't have to remind us every single year. Slow down. This is the reason why Advent is so important in Christianity. If you don't know what Advent is, it's just a four-week period of waiting, of preparation for the birth of Jesus. You see, God knew before we were ever born that we would be pulled in 100 different directions, that we would be distracted, that we would easily lose the meaning of Christmas. And so I believe through the movement of the Holy Spirit, put it on the hearts of the early leaders of the church to mark out these 4 weeks as special. And then encouraging us to observe some kind of Advent discipline. Now, that's a dirty word in our culture, but it's important because we have to be intentional about learning the teachings of Jesus and intentional about practicing the teachings of Jesus, or else we're not going to change. And so, my challenge this morning is very simple. Observe an Advent discipline. I challenge you this morning to commit to coming to worship every Sunday that you were able. And not just coming to worship and going through the motions, but before you even get here, set aside a time for prayer and prepare your hearts and minds. And ask God that when you walk into this sacred space during that sacred time, that you might be able to connect with your soul and experience the presence of the living God in a way that will transform you. And then come and put aside your distractions and let every word that you say and pray and sing be an offering, a sacrifice to God. And not just on Sunday morning, but find yourself an Advent devotional. If you don't have one, there are a million. And if you don't have the $5 or $6 that you need to buy one, we've got free devotionals in the back. Just go pick up a Daily Bread or an Upper Room. You can find 100 different devotionals online. You can download the Bible app. You can type in Advent devotions, and it'll even put a notification on your phone every day saying, it's time to pray. And observe this discipline of daily devotional life. Read a little bit. Pray a little bit. And continue to ask God to reveal the true meaning of the season. And imagine, just imagine for a moment how your life would be different if you committed to these things for 4 weeks. God can change your life in a moment. Imagine how God can change your life over the course of 4 weeks. How would Christmas be different? How would your seeing of the world be different? How would your most important relationships be different? Would it be possible that with a little intentionality and a little self-sacrifice, that we might discover the gifts that are promised to us during the Advent season? Love, peace, joy. That's my hope for all of us.